Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Playoff victory Motown Monday as the Commanders win 23-20 in Tampa Bay. And joining us now is our pal Jay Gruden, who, of course, was the head coach here for many years, and is our pal and our NFL analyst and Commanders analyst each and every Monday at 3 o'clock on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters. Ted Britt Chantilly of Lincoln, Chantilly Lincoln, I should say, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com. And with that, the former head coach here and, of course, longtime offensive coordinator and our guy Jay Gruden joins us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Chris, I'm doing great. How you doing?
I am doing great. A victory playoff Monday. You know how these games, you know, every game in the regular season is hard to win, Jay. The postseason, a different wild card, for lack of a better term. I know when you guys were in Cincinnati, and you know, a lot of people would get over Marvin Lewis, right? Oh, tight, this, that, and the other thing, come up short. You had the game against Green Bay. You guys had the early lead, and then, you know, Green Bay got it rolling in the second half. How difficult was it, in your estimation, coaching in a playoff game versus a regular season game?
Well, they're quite different. I mean, the stakes are obviously at the all-time high, and that's what you play for, you prepare for, your training camp, your OTAs, your drafts. Everything is geared up to getting into the playoffs. You get into the playoffs, and now here it is, and it's a huge game, a huge opportunity for everybody, and a lot of pressure on every situation called in every play of the game. Yeah, so it's a lot of stress.
I mean, you felt it different when coaching on the sidelines during a playoff game versus a regular season game, or was it about the same? Even though you knew the stakes were different.
I just think the lead up to the game was a lot more pressure intensified, gotcha, the excitement going into the game. But I think once you got into the game, play calling, all that stuff, and playing the game has to be pretty similar to the way you got to that point. You know, you can't all of a sudden, hey, we're going to play better, we're going to coach better, we got to continue to do the things the way we did to get here, you know?
Yeah.
Fundamentals and all the process of getting there, try to keep it as similar as you can, and then once your game gets there, you hope your players perform at the best level possible.
All right, let's rewind, obviously, and we'll start from the end. The play that Jaden Daniels makes on 3rd-and-2 when Kalijah Kancey has him and rips his towel and maybe not dead to rights, but certainly putting a lot of heat on Jay. I mentioned not only does he not run out of bounds after he eludes the pressure, but then he turns it up the field. And if you look at where he was behind the line of scrimmage at his furthest most point, it was about 7 or 8 yards. And then he gets a positive of 4 yards. That's an 12-yard window. I don't know if Zane Gonzalez makes that kick, if he gets sacked, or if he takes a loss of yardage on that play instead of getting the first down and turning it into 4 and also helping kill the rest of the clock.
Yeah, that was a hell of a play. There's a lot of plays you can count point to that were just critical that he made. They're unbelievable that put him in a position to get that field goal, win the game. You know, that was one of them. I think the 3rd-and-6 where he completed De'Ami Brown in that same drive with 4.5 minutes to go was an unbelievable throw. I mean, he threw that ball before De'Ami was even out of his break. It was perfectly thrown, accurate, and that kept the drive going, which allowed Jaden to make the play on 3rd-and-2 to get him a field goal range. So, yeah, he is just one after another. You know, I wrote down 3 or 4 plays that I thought were critical. I just broke them down on a site. So, yeah, I mean, this guy just doesn't flinch. He makes play after play in critical situations. That's what makes him special.
Jay Gruden is with us. You can check out more on that at @Coach_Jay Gruden, @Coach_Jay Gruden with us on the BetQL guest hotline brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right. So, and I agree with you. And I think that throw to Diami on the 3rd and 6, was that the one where Bowles had the two spies and
yeah.
Right. Well, and he's trying to basically split the hashes to make sure that he doesn't escape out either side. Did you like that from Bowles, even though it didn't work out for them, or did you think that was over-aggressive on his end?
Well, I think it was not aggressive, actually. You know, I would have liked to see him rush 5 and try to get after Jaden, get some pressure on him. Instead, he rushed 3. They still got a little bit of pressure, but having the 2 spies, he was tired of seeing Jaden escape to his right.
Yeah.
He mentioned it at the halftime. He goes, we got to quit letting this guy get out to his right. And, so I think that was the main part of it. That's what Jaden does to the defense. He's got them scratching their heads on the sideline. Let's put a double spy on them. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. We can't contain them. And they're trying everything, and nothing works, because if you only rush 3, he's going to dissect you in the pocket. And if you rush 4 or 5, he gets outside contain, and he throws it on the move. And he's playing at an all-time high level right now.
Let's get to the decision on 4th and goal, and it's the 5th time in this spot that Dan Quinn has gone for it on 4th down and various different yardage situations and spots on the field. But and we'll get to the rest of it. And he ultimately hits it with Terry. Like, I guess the thing that jumped out to me, Jay, not only did they execute it and get the touchdown and get the lead, but I wondered, like, they would have, if they would have kicked the field goal there, that puts you down 17-16. It doesn't get you tied. It doesn't get you in the lead. You're still down by a point, so you still need another score, even though you have 9.5 minutes left. Do you think that played into it, or do you think he was just pissed that they missed the defensive pass interference a couple of plays earlier on another 4th down on Zach Ertz with Lavonte David in wide open view? How did you read that out from a decision-making process?
Yeah, I can't fault any of his decisions that he's made throughout the year. He's been going for it on a consistent basis, so I think you got to hand it to him for doing that, and I think the players understand it. I think Cliff Kingsbury understands it. It's not like Cliff is, oh, my God, we're going to go for it, and he's not ready. I think Cliff is ready at all times on 4th down, and the players are ready, and they respond, and that's the biggest thing. You know, you can't just suddenly throw it upon your coordinator and your quarterback. We're suddenly going to go for it, but they've been doing it throughout the course of the year, so I think for Washington, it was probably the right call. For me and somebody else with another quarterback, I think a field goal would have been the right call. But when you have Jaden and the confidence level that he has in him making plays, I think it's the right call.
That's interesting that it would – yeah, I guess it would, you know, depend on, you know, time and quarterback specific. I guess you just kind of answered it. You didn't have a problem with the other 4th and 2 situations where he's bypassing, like on the first drive of the game, and it didn't work. I think it was 4th and 2 from the 20, right? I didn't have a problem with it because I don't trust Zane Gonzalez. But do you think he's thinking, A, we have Jaden Daniels, or B, do you think he's thinking, I need touchdowns instead of field goals?
I think both, really. I think when you have Jaden Daniels, you're – ability to go for it is a little bit easier. You know, your guts grow a little bit. Yeah, I got big guy. I got Jaden Daniels. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
That's the case with Dan Campbell and Jared Goff and Amonra, and then Jameer Gibbs are doing the same thing. Josh Allen went for it on 4th and 1. He threw a ball in the back of the end zone to the running back somehow. I mean, these coaches that have these quarterbacks and the trust level that they have makes it pretty easy to go for it. You know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, they don't get them all the time, but when they do get them, it changes the momentum of the game and it changes the scope of the game. So, there's a major risk involved in it, and Dan Quinn understands that, but he also understands he has a great quarterback that can execute and perform at critical situations like Jaden does, so it's easy to call.
You know, when you were calling plays, you had Andy Dalton as a young guy in Cincinnati. You had, you know, obviously the mishmash here at the beginning, but then you settle on Kirk. Now, Kirk, obviously, we know, doesn't have the mobility that Jaden has and Josh Allen has and what have you. So that really affects, obviously, what your mentality, even though you have a guy that, you know, like Kirk is a good passer and a smart player, intellectual and whatever, and a quick release and can get rid of the ball quickly. When you have that dual threat and defenses don't know what you're doing and can't zero in and can't, and you can break contain and you can escape, that brings a whole different element to it.
Yeah, that, and Jaden's going to make it right. You know, Cliff might call a play that's not going to work against the defense call, but Jaden will make it right with his legs or whatever. You know, when I had Andy Dalton, we're kicking a field goal 100 times out of 100. You know, we're going to play good defense. That's just, I'm sorry. Marvin Lewis is not going to hesitate. I'm not even going to be prepared for a 4th-and-2 call down there. So, yeah, it's just a matter of the personnel that you have. And obviously, you know, we had good defense back in Cincinnati, so it was a little bit different. But, you know, and I think playing against Tampa Bay and Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield was hot. That probably a little bit to play into too. But I think ultimately it's all about the quarterback and the trust level you have in him, whether or not he can get it or not. And they obviously believe 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10 he's going to perform.
And, you know, that was kind of the way it was coming in. I mean, I talked about it all week. They were 88% on fourth down, you know. And I mean, I didn't think it would be to quite that degree last night, but I was expecting 3, and we got 5. And they should have converted essentially, you know, everyone but one, and ultimately, statistically, I guess, they missed on 2. Jay Gruden is with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Let's start with this big picture. How did they – I wanted to ask you this. It seemed like, and NBC pointed out, I think Collinsworth pointed it out a couple of times, like that they were running tempo yet also substituting and getting different personnel packages in and screwing a little bit with Vita Vea, and maybe that's just big picture. So I want you to take me through that. How do you think they were able to do that, what seemed to be so effectively?
Yeah, tempo plays is a good thing to use against Tampa Bay with Vita Vea. You know, if he's on the field, you want to throw it, you want to use tempo, keep him out there for, you know, if he's tired or what have you. And if he's not in the game, you want to try to use tempo to keep him on the sideline. It's a good idea to have. And obviously, it might limit Todd Bowles' ability to get some of his unique blitz packages on third down when you're using tempo. He can't get the right subs in. He can't get the call in. Some of those calls for defensive guys are, you know, hard, and it's based on formation and personnel groups. And sometimes they call basic fundamental or, you know, basic defenses when you're using tempo. So they use it pretty well, I think, last night. I think it's a great ad for them, and it's what they do. It's what they've been doing. And it's a stress on defensive coordinators.
Two plays that I wanted to ask you about from Baker Mayfield and the Bucs' perspective. I mean, obviously the fumble, which Wagner recovers, looked like a little jet fake, whatever. And then, of course, the missed time snap in which they then have to settle for the game-tying field goal on, I want to say it was 3rd and 1. I could be wrong on
third
that.
3rd and 1,
yeah. Yeah, yep. We all know that football is such an intricate sport, right? And the precision that you guys develop these plays and draw up these plays and call and practice these plays, right? It's literally a sometimes a half second, a quarter second between a play that works and a play that doesn't, especially with all the jet motion that we see, and especially if it's not just jet motion for eye candy, if there's a purpose to the jet motion, i.e. a handoff play, you know, in place.
Yeah, you know, that's what is amazing about Jaden. He uses all the stuff. He hasn't had any miscommunications, mishaps at all year. You know, Baker on the you know, they screwed up. They had 2nd and 1. And then on 2nd and 1, they tried to run a zone read, and Baker kept it, followed Bucky in the hole and got splattered. They had 3rd and 1, and then the center snapped it early. Now they got 4th and 3. They kick a field goal. And then the jet sweep play, he just snapped it late and missed the handoff. And that's, you know, they practice that. You know, they've run a jet sweeps all year. You know, Liam Cohen came from the Rams, and they ran it all the time with Cooper Kupp and those guys. So they knew how to do it. Just Baker just had a brain fart there and snapped it too late and missed the handoff.
Yeah, kind of crazy, right? You know, I mean, that's what you have a veteran quarterback for, and he puts up big numbers. And he didn't throw the killer interception last night, but he had the 2 mistakes, obviously, there, and 1 really cost them, and 1 you could argue maybe cost them a net total of 4 points. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Anything else jump out at you, I guess, big picture-wise? What do you think of the defense in general, Jay? Because, I mean, Evans and Lattimore went at it at the end of the first half. I thought it was a fun, you know, good call on the defensive pass interference. A lot of fans were upset. They wanted OPI. And then he gives up the touchdown, but all things considered, even though they gave up the other touchdown in the 3rd quarter as they got Bucky Irvin to the perimeter, all things considered, right? I mean, a huge win for the defense.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Tampa only had 7 drives.
Yeah.
You know, they had 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals, and then 2 punts and 1 fumble. So, I think for the most part, they played good on defense. You know, they gave up a couple hits for sure. Mike Evans is going to get his catches. Hell, he's had 11,000 yards 11 years in a row. He's going to get some catches.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the defense competes. That's what I like most about the defense. They play hard, and Dan
they
Quinn
do.
Did a good job. I watched the film, and he did a good job disguising coverages, quarters, cover two, quarter, half, whatever it might be. The corner played cover two. Safety was on the other half. So, yeah, he did a great job of disguising his intent, making Baker hold the ball. And then the most important thing is the offense just kept the ball. I mean, 17 play drive, 9 minutes. I mean, that's unbelievable. So the offense keeps the defense fresh, and this defense being able to fly around to the football is a great combination. They complement each other perfectly.
Jay Gruden is with us. Now you go to Detroit, and we all know how talented that team is. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that say they have no chance. I mean, clearly for me, it starts with Jahmyr Gibbs and whether they can corral him and contain him and not let him get to the perimeter and out to the perimeter with speed. Is that the number one key in your mind, or is there something else from a Commander's perspective? Is it just simple keep away and hope to, again, limit possessions and all that?
Yeah, I think Jahmyr's a key. Obviously, he had a great game last week, and he's a hell of a back. And then also the first and second down play actions with Jared Goff, he's unbelievable at those. But it's about the power, and they bring Skipper in as an extra lineman, and they try to bludgeon you with the runs. And
yeah.
Then the play actions off of it with Jared Goff, they're outstanding. And Jared has great anticipation, accuracy, and confidence right now in what he's doing. So, yeah, it'll be a stiff challenge for the defense. Offensively, I think they can get after Detroit's ass. I really do. I think they can have a good day. It's a fast track up there, and Jaden can have his way on the perimeter, and hopefully the running game will work a little bit better against this defense. And yeah, it's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, last time we saw Detroit's defense, you know, they did a great job inside the 10-yard line. They played a lot of man. They blitzed against Minnesota. I don't know if that's going to be the same game plan, you know, for Maren Glenn to try and make up for, again, some of those injuries. But if you blitz and if you play, you know, a good amount of man and you turn your back to Jaden Daniels, he might be able to break you down if he can stay standing.
There's no might about it. He will. This game is going to come down to fourth downs. I think it's going to be situational ball. Dan Quinn and Dan Campbell both go for it at an unbelievable rate on fourth down.
Yeah.
The teams that convert those fourth downs, and I think will be the team that obviously will have the upper hand. So it's going to come down to about four or five of these critical fourth downs for both teams.
Dan's, no doubt about it. All right, in lieu of running out of time here, I'm going to ask you not about every individual wild card game this week, but out of the four, what surprised you the most? Was it Houston's domination over the Chargers or something else?
Yeah, Houston for sure. That was a bloodbath. I didn't expect Houston, the Texans, to dominate the Chargers.
Neither did Rex Ryan, Jay.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. I picked the Chargers as well. I mean, the Texans weren't doing a very good job protecting the quarterback. They couldn't run the ball, and they got after Herbert, and Herbert threw four picks. He never throws picks. So, yeah, it was that was definitely a shocker. The Ravens wasn't a shocker. The Bills was not a shocker. I picked the Buccaneers. I mean, I picked the Commanders, so that wasn't a shocker to me. And then tonight will be a hell of a game.
Yeah, what do you think of tonight? I mean, obviously, with Los Angeles being displaced to State Farm Stadium in Glendale, yeah, I know they're going to, you know, try and make it seem like a Rams game, and maybe it will. I don't know. But to me, is this one just about whether Sam Darnold can be good Sam Darnold versus bad Sam Darnold, or do you look at it in a different way?
Yeah, no, that's a lot. That has a lot to do with it. The quarterback play in the playoffs is obviously the most important thing, but I think the Rams' success has been reliant on Kyron Williams, but I don't think he's going to be able to have a success against the Vikings' run defense. They have very good run defense. I think Stafford's going to have to put it up in the air. That means they're going to have to protect against the Vikings' pass rush, and then vice versa. I think Sam Darnold's going to have to put it out there for Justin Jefferson and the rest of the guys, Hockenson. And it'll be a hell of a game, but I think the Vikings right now, just top to bottom, have a better football team. There's no home field advantage, so I think the Vikings will pull it out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got the Vikings as well for a lot of the same reasons as you. Dallas, they kind of were toying around. It looked like McCarthy might be coming back. Now he's not. Now he's out. What is your sense of what to do there? Jerry can't be the easiest guy in the world to work with, yet he doesn't seem like a total jerk. How, I guess, tepid would you be if you're a Ben Johnson, if you're maybe a Cliff Kingsbury, and you're from Texas, and Jerry Jones calls? Like, what do you think would be, like, your thought process there?
Well, I think it's a great situation because they have a quarterback. I think Dak can play, and they got CeeDee Lamb, and they got Micah, and they got some holes on defense, but I think those are fixable. Just having to deal with Jerry Jones and who's in control of the roster and all that stuff, you'll have to have great communication about to make sure you want to get the people in you want to get in. You don't want to just jump on it. It's a hell of a job to have. It's probably the number one job in football that people say, but you got to work with the right people. You got to be on the same page. You got to understand what we need, how we're going to address the needs moving forward to make sure it's a team decision and who's pulling the rope. I mean, who's making the call? Is it all Jerry Jones? Is it Will McClay? Who is
it? So it doesn't sound like you would be like, oh my God, I can't work for Jerry Jones. Not that I expected you to think that, but like Jerry's got this, I don't know, this image of being ultra, ultra involved, which he is. He's, for crying out loud, the general manager of the team in addition to the owner. To me, that would worry me unless I was desperate.
Yeah, it has some concerns, but you have to have some talks with him and make sure at least he's in the meetings and listens to the coaches and the personnel department. He might have the final say in contracts and who he's signing, but make sure he takes all the input from the coaches and he doesn't go rogue and pick somebody that nobody else wants.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you don't want to have. So as long as they're all making the right decision together, then I think it'll work out. Because like I said before, it's a situation where you have a good quarterback already in place. Lyman's not terrible. They have some holes, obviously, as does everybody. But quarterback's there, and it's a good job to have when you have a quarterback.
Although he is coming off of a serious injury, but you're right, the quarterback is there. And CeeDee Lamb's there, too, and that helps. And Micah Parsons on the other side is there, and that helps. Jay, thank you as always. Good spot. Appreciate you. And talk to you next Monday, maybe, perhaps after the Commanders shock the world.
Hell yeah, let's do it. Thanks, Chris.
There you go. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.